Bill Owens, let's take a trip to the Middle East. Things don't look good over there. We have the Syrian thing. We now hear about these mother loads of gaseous, poisonous chemicals. And we have the possibility, the potential of some very bad people, you know, winning against Assad, who seems to be a monster, but getting their hands on this stuff.
Well, you know, it's a very serious problem. You know, one of my concerns is how do you manage that when you look at the fact that, from my perspective, I would have a great deal of difficulty putting boots on the ground in the Middle East, American boots on the ground. That's not something that I would easily do again. We've just sacrificed so much in this country, and people have done such a wonderful job that, from my perspective, that would be a very, very difficult decision to make. At the same time, clearly, access to chemical weapons is a real problem. We do seem to see NATO becoming involved, particularly over in Turkey, and we had NATO involved in Libya. You know, maybe that's a direction to go. Hopefully, the folks who are getting control of those weapons as part of the fighting in Syria will, in fact, heed the concerns of the president and others with regard to the use of those weapons, and hopefully the Syrian regime will heed that as well. But clearly, that's going to be a very difficult process to manage because I think there will be great reluctance to put troops on the ground.
So how do we mediate this? I mean, you know, obviously the country believes that polls show that Israel needs to be protected. We see Netanyahu now allowing the building of more outposts on what were previously considered Palestinian lands. What do we do?
Well, you know, underlying this whole problem clearly is the idea that these two countries have to get together and make a decision, these two groups of people.
But if, as soon as they do, somebody kills them. Look at Sadat. Look at the, right. You know. I mean, how do you do that? How do you have the guts to do it?
I don't know how that ultimately works out. You know, there are clearly issues that are on the ground there that are very difficult to manage. But, you know, years ago, you know, in Northern Ireland, we had a similar kind of heated religious-based issue, religious and economically based issue, and ultimately the Good Friday Accord brought us a long way.
Do you think there's a comparison? I mean, honestly, this has been going on since, you know, King Richard. You know, do you think it's the same as Catholics and Protestants in Northern Ireland?
I don't know that it's exactly the same, but certainly the level of controversy was very similar, seemed not to have... I think the key comparison is that there didn't seem to be a way through it.
Uh-huh.
And they found a way.
Sure, you're right.
Right? So the fact that they were able to find a way through it with some risk to the participants, which is what you pointed out before, you know, there is great risk to those folks who lead those kinds of endeavors. So from my perspective, there is great risk in this process, but someone who really has to lead the way forward, and it has to come from the state of Israel and the Palestinians. I mean, it has to come from there.
Let's change subjects for a moment here, Bill Owens, and go to Sandy relief. We have the governor going down to Washington asking for $42 billion. We have $30 billion or so from Governor Christie. And we have, what you talked about a couple of days ago, the whole idea about going over the cliff and having to eat more and more of what we've been doing in terms of expenses. And you lived through Irene, which was terrible havoc on your district.
That's right.
What advice do you have for everybody?
Well, you know, I think that... this is an extraordinarily difficult problem for the governor. I think he's doing his job coming down here to Washington and pursuing the maximum amount of assistance he can. Whether or not he'll get $42 billion, I think is very much open to question. But he should continue to push that envelope because it is important. You know, Chris Gibson and I joined together with Peter Welch and Paul Tonko, and we pushed for assistance during Irene because we thought that that was critical for our constituents. I perceive the governor is doing the same thing for the people who were affected by Sandy. So I certainly don't object to it. I think we now have to sit down and work it through in a very pragmatic way, try and find ways to, get that done. I think at the same time, I was reading a story in the Times the other day about the communities that had allowed the 15-foot sand dunes to be built.
Yep, yep.
And those who had not.
And the ones who did made out.
And that's correct. So I think that, you know, there has to be some realism put into this process. And if, in fact, people are going to get assistance, then they need to do some pragmatic things that will protect them in the future.
Yep. Yeah. Let me go to defense for a moment. I've been saying on the air, you know, what do we need another $1 billion submarine for? Well, I got called up short by one of our listeners who said, it ain't a billion, it's several billion. At what point, if you don't build that submarine, do you affect the economics of a particular region, maybe Groton, Connecticut being an example? In other words, are we so into defense spending that we're doing suicide if we don't spend on projects which we may not even need?
Well, first, I think we clearly have to do a better job of defining the projects we do need, because there clearly is a need for defense equipment, whether it's a submarine or an aircraft, whether it's facilities for troops to train at Fort Drum. Whatever the investment is, we need to make sure we're doing it very strategically. Because there is, given the way the world is changing, the fact that China is rising in Southeast Asia as a major military power, we need to reallocate resources in that direction. We clearly have issues in the Middle East that we have to be prepared for. But when you look at it on balance, we have to find a way to do a couple of things. One, make sure we have a strong defense. I think that that's certainly critical, and I think that most people would demand that. Secondarily, we need to make our arms purchases do it in a much more efficient and effective manner, make sure that these are technologies that we both need and can be produced in an appropriate and economic fashion, in other words, the most efficient way possible. And we need to be constantly monitoring that to make sure that we are, in fact, getting the results that we need. And this process, unfortunately, is something that sort of moves back and forth and has been, if you will, impacted by the fact that we've been at war for 12 years. So we've used a tremendous amount of equipment that's been, you know, damaged in battle, has been utilized to a great extent. We need to, I think, you know, as we bring the troops home, as we bring the equipment home, we need to go through a very clear evaluation of these things and make sure that we're deploying our troops and our capacity in a very measured way going forward.
Bill Owens, always great fun to talk to you. I always learn something, and I appreciate your being here. And again, once more, congratulations on your win in your district.
Thanks, Alan. Take care of yourself.